And welcome to Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac. Sean Daly, call me anything you want, just don't call me late for dinner. And what's with that promo guy calling it Las Vegas, Nevada? It's Las Vegas, Nevada. Where's Diggs? We gotta get Diggs to fix that damn thing. Same thing when I lived in Chicago. Everybody was murdering Chicago. Chicago, whatever it is. It's Chicago, Illinois, not Illinois, and it's Las Vegas, Nevada, not Nevada. So it's been bugging me for about 2 years here at LV Rock, so we gotta fix that, you know? That and the lovebirds out there making out in their Jeep downstairs on the lower level with Con and his girlfriend there. So anyway, welcome to Subject to Discussion, and it's heard every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 8 o'clock Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern on LVRocks.com. And also, it's podcast over on LVRocks.com. Just click, go on the LVRocks.com site, and the podcast is over on the left if you cannot join us live. And tonight's guest in a little bit is going to be Justin Gardner. He's the blogger behind the Dunkelfint blog, which Dunkel, D-O, see, I'll put it in the chat room in a few minutes. And it's Dunkelfint. It's a centrist blog, and it, you know, it'll be good to see what's going on in the world of politics. It's from a centrist point of view. We got a lot of things going on. The row with President Bush and Cindy Sheehan and all that still cranking away. And like I said, I lost all respect for Cindy Sheehan when she aligned herself with Michael Moore and the liberal groups. You know, she would have been just a simple mother mourning the loss of her son who was killed in Iraq. I would have, you know, felt, you know, some sympathy, more sympathy towards her than I do now. But as soon as she signed up with Michael Moore and all those guys, forget it. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. And like I said, Justin Gardner will be on just in a little bit. And, where are we at here? Next week, Dilby will be back. Dilby runs the Dilby.com website. It's a centrist. It's a centrist news site. It's like a drudge, but a center-based drudge. And he was the one, anybody who's, you know, new listening to the program, Dilby was the one who was the first one to air the footage of Nicholas Berg, I believe, was getting his being beheaded. He ran the site that first aired that footage there. So good or bad, you know, we all make, you know, if it's a mistake or not, I'm not sure, but we all learn from those things, we move on. So, and other than that, and also thanks to Judy over at sfbuzz.net, sfbuzz.net. It's a Galactica blog over at the Science Fiction Buzz website, and thank you to her for sponsoring the program. And the website for the program is subject number 2, discussion. .com, and also the email is subject, the number 2, discussion at lvrocks.com. When Koenig Rules is having problems listening to the show, is there another way to hear the audio other than click on listen now? No, I don't think so. Is there? No. So it's sitting in front of me. I don't think there's another way you can hear the audio. That's, yeah, just click on listen now, and it should open up. So other than that, it's M3U. And I'm going to go through the news in a moment. If you want to call them with any kind of news to you outside of Las Vegas, it's 1-866-587-6257. Within Las Vegas, it's 383-8120. And outside the United States, it's 702-383-8120. So if you have any news, you know, a news story, news item, it's from, you know, in your area or something that the national networks aren't following, you can call and give us that news. And hopefully in the second hour, we'll be joined by Aaron Douglas, from Battlestar Galactica. Aaron Douglas is in Las Vegas, and, we're trying to coordinate him to come into the studio. I was a little predisposed this morning. I was at the hospital with my mother, and, I got an email from him that he is in town. So I did give him directions how to get here to the studio, so hopefully he will show up, as the studio is in the Garden Spot of Las Vegas. So we hope to see him in a little bit on the program. If not, maybe he'll call in. If not, you know, well, I guess, you know, I don't know. And then next week, Paul Campbell is going to be here on the program, who plays Billy on Battlestar Galactica. So he'll be on next week's program. So officially he'll be on. He was on a few weeks ago. So with that being said, we'll move on to the news to you. Now, also, my friends over at SpankWagon.net, I want to thank them for archiving the program. And Mark is here with us again for another week. So thank you for producing the program. And news to you. This is from last Wednesday. This is from Janice in Kalispell, Montana, a KCFW Channel 9, the NBC affiliate. This is, story is titled Death Cremation. From two teenagers allegedly involved with the shooting death and cremation of a sleeping man earlier this summer appeared in district court at Missoula, one hoping for release as the case proceeds and the other denying any involvement. 16-year-old Jared Honey is charged with shooting William Robertson in the head with a .22 caliber rifle July 5th, allegedly at the behest of the sleeping man's wife. And he pleaded not guilty. District judge, blah, blah, blah. Robertson's wife, Debbie, allegedly enlisted Honey, her oldest daughter's boyfriend, to kill her husband. She is charged with one count of solicitation of murder and another of tampering with evidence. She remains in jail and $250,000 bail. And also being held is 15-year-old Jasmine Robertson, Debbie Robertson's younger daughter, who is charged with tampering with evidence. What in the world? What is with these people? And terrible, terrible. And that's from Missoula, Montana, no less. I mean, I thought there was like only three people living up there. This one's from Thursday, anonymous from the Texarkana Gazette. Chase leads to forgery arrest. Dequeen, Arkansas. A local man was arrested on a felony forgery warrant Saturday after leading sheriff's deputies in a high-speed chase. Dusty Lou Stewart, 24, was charged with second-degree forgery, failure to appear, and fleeing, which is a Class D felony. He has had two stolen credit cards and a stolen check in his wallet. The suspect turned on to blah, blah, blah. This guy for forgery, forging names with stolen credit cards and a stolen check. So, and this next one's from Arnold from the Manchester, New Hampshire, WMUR, News Channel 9, ABC affiliate. Juvenile charged in severe beating. Man remains in critical condition after surgery. This is updated as of last week. A juvenile was arrested and charged with a baseball bat attack that left a man hospitalized in critical condition. Police said that the 16-year-old boy caused injuries that put Steve Raymond, 41 years old, in the hospital. Investigators said that more arrests are possible and that the attack might have been in response to a phone call to the police reporting vandalism in the neighborhood. Apparently, police said the attack was retaliation for Raymond calling police about a group of youths shooting BBs at cars in the neighborhood. This is ridiculous. They're beating the hell out of this poor guy because he reported these kids for shooting BBs at cars. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Just let him do it? Crazy. We had a story like that here in Vegas with a park. Happened in a park. This guy, out of nowhere, for no reason whatsoever, these girls are in there, you know, with their camera, taking pictures of the birds and the trees. And anyway, this guy came out of nowhere with the baseball bat and beat the hell out of these two girls for no reason. So it was, I think, last summer. This one is from Friday. From Anonymous, from the Portland, Maine, the Portland Press Herald. Westbrook man fights Walmart cap. A Westbrook man is challenging a new rule that would limit a proposed Walmart supercenter in the city to 160,000 square feet. Apparently, Walmart would like to have the store be 180,000 square feet, but the city is demanding that they keep the store to a limit of 160,000 square feet. Walmart has expressed reservations about 150-foot buffers and a 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. operating hours in particular, but as said, it will accept all the rules if it can have 20,000 square feet more for the building's footprint. So Walmart keeps making news all over. And, of course, they had that shooting at that Walmart in Arizona yesterday with the people getting blown away in front of the Walmart. From Trisha, this is in the Springfield, Illinois, the Springfield Journal Register newspaper. Separate instances leave three hurt. Springfield police are investigating two apparently unrelated crimes that left two men hospitalized Thursday, one with a gunshot wound to the nose and the other with a collapsed lung. Officers went to the area of 8th and Enterprise, blah, blah, blah. Shooting victim had arrived at St. John's Hospital with a life-threatening gunshot wound to the face. How do you get shot in the nose, I wonder? I wonder what he looks like now. The police spoke to the 17-year-old gunshot victim, who said he and two other men were driving in the area in a car when one of them saw a woman walking along the street who he believed had stolen something from him. The driver pulled into a driveway and was getting ready to turn the car around and go back toward the woman when the victim heard a gunshot and felt pain. So I don't know if the woman shot him. How do you get shot in the nose, you know? This is from Jonas in Dallas, Texas, from the AP Wire. A tree trimmer attack. Called a case of tree rage. Diana Kaiser is charged with chasing utility workers with a chainsaw. Police in Fremont, California, say contract workers for the local electric company were trimming trees along the power line that cuts through Kaiser's property. One police officer says Kaiser likes her trees. According to police reports, the homeowner tossed rocks at the tree trimmers and even picked up one of their chainsaws. She was arrested on a number of charges, including suspicion of assault with a deadly weapon. So this woman must really love her trees. She went after the tree trimmers with their own chainsaws. So that'd be tree rage. So we got car rage, road rage, now we have tree rage. Sleepy suspect. This is from Arnold, Pennsylvania. Sleeping on the job has landed Ernest DeMar Boyd in a mess of trouble. Police in Arnold, Pennsylvania charged Boyd, broke into a woman's home, then was caught catching some Z's in her bed. Police said Boyd had nearly 20 rocks of crack cocaine in his pocket. Boyd claims it was just soap. He now faces a number of counts, including robbery and drug dealing charges. What the hell are you going to rob somebody? You know, just rob whoever's in the house and get out. Why are you, you know, laying in bed and fall asleep? You know, it's a stupid crook there. You know, one of them stupid crook stories. This is from Zach in Reading, Pennsylvania, from the Reading Eagle newspaper. Officials say a teacher was suspended for touching. The instructor at Nativity BVM High School in Pottsville arrested this week in the videotaping of female students was punished for inappropriate contact with a student in February. The physical education teacher at Pottsville High School, charged with secretly videotaping female students in a school locker room, had been suspended by the school 6 months earlier for touching a female student. Why don't they just fire him to begin with? Daniel M. Shields, Jr., 61, also the former football coach at Nativity BVM High School, was suspended in February for inappropriate contact with the student. Police said they seized two video cameras and 19 videotapes and DVDs and other video recording accessories from Shields' house. So, weird pervert. This is Sunday from Oscar from the Fairbanks digital site from the Fairbanks, Fairfax, Australia. Man stabbed in head during backpack robbery. Man has been stabbed in the head in Sydney's southwest side over a backpack early this morning. The 40-year-old man was returning home from work in Sydney's CBD when he was confronted by two men on the corner of South Parade and Park Street just after midnight. They demanded the man's backpack, but he ran. They caught up with him in Park Street and stabbed him in the head and the neck. He collapsed and was later found by a relative. I don't know how you get stabbed in the head. I thought your head was the hardest thing on your body. It must have been, I don't know what kind of knife that is, like a butcher knife or an axe or something. This one's from Monday from Rich in San Antonio, Texas, KSAT-TV, ABC affiliate. Convenience store clerk assaulted with bleach during robbery. A woman used bleach and a butcher knife to hold up a convenience store clerk Friday morning on the northeast side. Police said the woman walked into a Diamond Shamrock store in the 4000 block, blah, blah, and asked if she was going to make a purchase when she allegedly threw bleach in the clerk's face. The clerk was then allegedly held at knife point and told to open the register. The woman got away with an undetermined amount of money. The clerk is suspected to be okay. It's ridiculous. When they get her in jail, they say, what'd you do? You know, your assault with Clorox or something like that? You know, Clorox, it's attempted murder one or something like that with Clorox. Probation officer arrested for alleged indecent exposure. Oh, what's with these people? A county juvenile, this is from San Antonio. A Bexar County juvenile probation officer was arrested Friday for indecent exposure and assault, according to police. Eddie Gonzalez, 35, is accused of exposing himself in a public restroom at the Olmos Sports Complex. I don't know if that's not named after Edward James, almost. According to the arrest affidavit, Gonzalez walked into the restroom and grabbed an undercover officer from Park Police in the groin area. Park Police said after Gonzalez began fondling himself, they moved in and arrested him for indecent exposure, and Gonzalez was released from jail after posting bond. Disgusting. And also, he should be embarrassed with what he had, I think the police said, too. No, that's my comment. From Arna, this is from Arna from Denver, Colorado, from Denver's ABC 7. Teens lift car off a trapped friend. A 15-year-old Wyoming teen was recovering after he was pinned underneath a car and saved when his friends lift the car off of him. Sam Torak was thrown from a car on August 6th near Buffalo, Wyoming. The teen driver swerved to avoid a deer. The car carrying 14 teenagers went off the road and rolled on top of Torak, according to the Buffalo Bulletin newspaper. The three remaining teenagers lifted the car off of the kid that was crushed underneath the car. He suffered a broken pelvis and other injuries. Wow, good for those kids. And this is from Roger in Las Vegas from the Associated Press Business Wire. Harrah's Entertainment buys Imperial Palace a deal worth $370 million. I used to work at the Imperial Palace, so I'm glad that place has been sold. They can probably knock that thing down. Harrah's Entertainment has signed an agreement to buy the aging Imperial Palace. Imperial Palace sits on 18 acres between Harrah's, Las Vegas, and the Flamingo. So now Harrah's owns Flamingo Hilton, Flamingo Hotel. It's not the Hilton anymore. It's Flamingo Hotel. They own the O'Shea's. If you've ever been to Las Vegas, now they own the O'Shea's, a little Irish place next door to the Flamingo. It's a little dump. And now they own the Imperial Palace, which is the dump, and they'll probably tear it down. And Harrah's, they just fixed up. And then now they also own the Caesar's Palace, which I work at, which is across the street. So, and I worked there for a while. It was owned by a guy, Ingolstadt, and he was fined $1.5 million years ago for having birthday parties honoring Adolf Hitler. Horrendous. You don't have birthday parties for honoring Hitler in a casino, and I expect they get fined over it. I mean, it just affected the image of gaming in Las Vegas, they say. So, anyway, this is from Karen from WUSA, Channel 9, the ABC affiliate in Washington, D.C. Family vows to catch grandmother's killer. A stray bullet ended her life. The residents of Southeast D.C. neighborhood are remembering what made the woman they called Mama so special. Her family is vowing to put her killer behind bars. Her life was cut short by a stray bullet that tore through the window of her fourth floor apartment and hit her as she was watching TV last Wednesday night. Oh, that's terrible. Horrible. Hope they find the guy, whoever did that, put him away. These stray bullets and everything. And actually, I had somebody at work when I worked at the Rio. His son, a security officer, he's living in an apartment, and his son was asleep on the couch one day. And I guess there's a stray bullet story. He heard a pop, and a bullet went up from the apartment below him, and went into the couch. And I guess it hit the spring, and the bullet was broken half. Half of it went into the front, the top part of his spine near his head. The other half of the bullet went into the bottom part of his spine near his tailbone. And the poor guy is still recovering from paralysis and surgery and everything like that. Everything else. They said it would have been better if the bullet hadn't broken half. It just went into him. That way, it would have been one area to operate on versus two. So, this next one is from Blair in Oklahoma City from KOCO Channel 5 News. Newlywed charged with fondling girl. 18-year-old newlywed. Wow. 18-year-old accused of fondling 12-year-old. A man married for just a few hours was arrested Saturday and charged with taking indecent liberties with a 12-year-old girl. Kansas City, Missouri television station reported Antonio Juan Rocha, 18 years old, what's he doing getting married to begin with, unless the girl's pregnant or something, is accused of two counts of aggravated indecent liberties with a child. Investigators said that Rocha was married on the same day he was arrested. Court documents said he grabbed the girl by the neck and tried to kiss her and fondle her. It's crazy. The alleged victim is apparently a friend of the family. Rocha's bond has said $5,000. Terrible. Disgusting. 18 years old and getting married and fondling some girl on the same day you got married? What are these people? These people are just nuts. I'm telling you, it goes back to that. I think we got to get into this thing. We're having an annual or semi-annual, triennial mental health exam for everybody in the United States. I think it's coming to that because these nuts are running loose. There's 300 million people in the United States. 20 million of us are lunatics, which means we got 60 million lunatics, nuts out there. So, I mean, we got to have some kind of way of mental health exams or corralling these mental cases out there. Mom accused of leaving child on... Here's another one. Mom accused of leaving child on side of the road. This is from Ypsilanti, Michigan. Woman accused of leaving her 6-year-old son on the side of a New York road. An Erie County Sheriff's Department deputy was patrolling Grand Island Boulevard, blah, 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 about 6 p.m. Sunday when he discovered a small boy running alone down the side of a busy highway. The child was crying and visibly upset and was followed by two concerned citizens, the sheriff's department said. The deputy was able to locate the child's mother, a woman, Judith, 55 years old. The woman, her last name is Andrews, told the deputy she had stopped her vehicle in a parking lot and proceeded forward. She had thought her son was still in the rear of the vehicle. Witnesses who had followed the boy said they had seen the mother arguing with the child outside the vehicle. They said the mother returned to her car and left her child to run behind the car. The mother's being held on $15,000 bond at the holding center in Erie County. Nuts. Like I said, I think you need a license to have children or, I don't know, some kind of a class where you have children or something like that. This is from Allison in Santa Monica, found on the Yahoo from the AP, BTK killer movie in production for CBS. Yeah, this thing just wrapped up last week. Now they're already making a movie out of it. A movie about the effort to bring BTK killer Dennis Rader to justice is in production for CBS and will air October 9th, the network said. The Hunt for the BTK Killer stars Robert Forster and Michael Michelle as two Wichita, Kansas police detectives who discover that Rader has resurfaced at blah, blah, we all know about that. Greg Henry plays Rader, who last week was sentenced to 10 consecutive life terms. And they're making a movie out of this. They're filming the movie in Halifax, Nova Scotia from Von Zerneck and Certner Films. It's amazing. And they had some kind of 9/11 thing on last week, the National Geographic. Had a thing on, and then also we had the they're making, I think CBS is making another one about that. And somebody made like two movies about the Pope, and there's two more movies on the way, Pope John Paul II. So I don't know. And another thing, I was watching Bill O'Reilly, and he's all over this Jessica's Law for that poor girl that was killed in Florida. You know, that girl's, you know, in the trailer, and they buried her alive, and all that, blah, blah, blah. And he was saying how he's trying to get all these states to pass this Jessica's Law. But my thing is, okay, let's do it. But he has, you have to answer my email. Are the priests listed as sex offenders, the priest list is going to be listed as well, because they're sex offenders as well. Yeah, I'm all for that, as long as they're all being the priests, you know, the clergymen, everybody that's, you know, molested, raped, a boy or a girl should also be included on that Jessica's list. Not just the sex offenders are not priests. I think the priests should be thrown in there as well. Yeah, that's my thing. But I found out that almost all the cases of priests molesting kids have been settled, and only cases that are being brought forward or settled or sued wherever are civil cases. So unless it's a criminal case, these priests will never have the sex offending record on their record, because it's being settled as a civil case, not as a criminal case. So that's interesting. But I think the priests should also be included on the sex offenders list. Because that's the worst. I said it before. That's the worst kind of sex offender is a priest using the power of the Lord. He's a spokesman for God and all that to rape boy. Mostly it's all boy. Rape boys and all that, and it's just ridiculous. And it scars them for life. And you're there to get closer to the Lord, and here's a priest pulling your pants down and letting you have it. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Anyway, a little over the top, huh? it cranks me up about that. A woman gets cable bill with derogatory name. This is news to me, and hopefully Justin will be calling in a few minutes, because Aaron Douglas has not shown up yet, so I don't expect, hopefully he'll show up, but if he doesn't, well. Woman gets cable bill with derogatory name. Lashania Govan said she got bounced around by her cable company when she called to complain. She made dozens of calls and was even transferred to a person who spoke Spanish, a language she doesn't understand. When she got her August bill from Comcast Cable, she had no trouble understanding. She made somebody mad. It was addressed to Bitch Dog. It was like you gotta be freaking kidding, blah, blah, blah. So the cable bill is addressed to Bitch Dog. So and I saw one today that somebody addressed another bill to somebody named,
Mr. Palestinian Bomber.
Yeah, Mr. Palestinian Bomber. Yeah. These people. They should fire these people.
Chase Manhattan did it.
Chase Manhattan, that's a big bank in New York. Yeah. You know? Hopefully they fired this person. There we go. The company official said they went through the records and identified two people who were involved with the name change and fired them. Well, that's good. It's unknown why the employees did it. Well, the employees did because they're mad at this woman for raising hell at the cable company, and they thought they'd stick it to her by change her name to Bitch Dog. Governor William Weld to run for governor of New York. Former Massachusetts Governor William Weld said he plans to seek the Republican nomination for governor of his native state, New York, next year, according to a published report. His juices are really flowing for this race. Oh, he wants to return to public service. Oh, blah, blah, blah. He said former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani encouraged him to run. Pataki said he will not seek a fourth term. State Attorney General Elliot Spitzer is going to run as a Democratic for the New York State governor's nomination. And a victory would make Weld the second American to serve as a governor of two states. Sam Houston was the governor of Tennessee and also from Texas. So, I don't know. He's the only one that really gave John Kerry a run for his money for the Senate seat years ago. And he said, because Weld was way in front of Kerry the last time Kerry was up for re-election. And then they all agreed to do these series of debates around the state, like Lincoln Douglas debates, and that's when Kerry kind of threw all the criticism and everything back at Weld and managed to overcome the discrepancy in the polls. So, British soldiers get germ fighting underwear. British troops combating the heat and dust off Iraq and Afghanistan have a new weapon in their armory, defense officials announced Thursday. Germ-fighting underwear. The antimicrobial underpants have been introduced by the Ministry of Defense as a part of a new desert uniform for soldiers. They are the first undergarments issued to British troops who traditionally have to supply their own underwear. The unisex trunks were made from artificial fibers for comfort with silver particles woven into the material to prevent sweating. And so now they're wearing their own underwear. Wonderful. The equipment would make Britain's troops among the most best equipped in the world and ready to face environmentals ranging from desert conditions in Iraq to monsoon conditions in Brunei to the winter in Balkans. Support for the modern servicemen or women starts from the skin out. So I guess they're providing underwear for all the troops now. They got so the seams don't chafe and everything. So now the British government's providing their troops with underwear. So that's nice to know. That's lovely. This is original. Is that? Okay. Anyway, Justin? Is that Justin? Okay. We'll bring him on just a moment. This is from an original Einstein manuscript. A manuscript is discovered. An original manuscript from a paper Albert Einstein published in 1925 has been found in the archives of university. Is it Leiden University's Lorenz Institute for Theoretical Physics? So the manuscript was titled Quantum Theory of Monatomic Ideal Gas. It was dated December 1924. So good for him. They found that the manuscript. So that's Albert Einstein there. And what else we have? I'm just going to get two more things. The Army is planning for 4 more years in Iraq. The Army is planning for possibly keeping the number of soldiers in Iraq well over 100,000 for 4 more years. 138,000 U.S. troops, including 25,000 Marines, are now in Iraq. They're now in the 07-09, and they're planning. And they're planning an issue for being well after Bush has left office. The 2007-2009 rotation is planning to go beyond Bush's term in office, which ends in 2009 when Hillary Clinton takes over as president. No, maybe. Women's brains, I swore I'd stay a little more neutral, but it's time for a change, I think. So anyway, I think we'll bring on Justin from the Dunkelvent blog. Justin, are you there, sir?
Hey, Sean, what's going on?
Hi, how are you? Welcome.
Doing good. So you think Hillary's gonna be the president?
I don't know. I just think we need a change. I'm trying to stay as neutral as possible. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I think I don't know. Who else is out there that could possibly George Allen maybe. He's a former governor. I just don't see anybody out there that's gonna rise up. I mean, Giuliani, I don't think stands a chance with Hillary. He's got that. He doesn't. I think you gotta look presidential to be president. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I think probably a lot of people would disagree with you that Giuliani doesn't look presidential, but you have somebody like McCain, who appeals to a lot of independent voters, but then you have somebody like Bill Richardson. Recently I've been kind of paying attention to him, and he seems very smart in the way that he's talking and the way that he's approaching, and he's talking about being forward instead of, right or left.
That's
so
true.
Obviously, that kind of appeals to like what we're doing.
True. Well, I like Richardson as well. I mean, I just think Hillary's the name right now, so who knows? But anyway, this is Justin Gardner from the Dunkelvent blog, and first give the listeners out there a little in a nutshell what the Dunkelvent's all about.
Yeah, sure. I basically started the blog to address the political blogosphere, the kind of the division, the rhetoric, the back and forth, the name calling, all that stuff that I was getting sick of, personally. So I proposed to Duncan Riley, who you had on last week, mm-hmm. That was a good segment, and I proposed this kind of centrist blog. Now it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to be a true moderate to write for the blog. In fact, I wouldn't say that anybody on the blog is a true moderate. But the point of the blog is really to create a forum where people can exchange ideas and not yell at each other and not fight tooth and nail and not call each other idiots and liars and try to bring the discussion back to more of a common sense type of place. Mm-hmm. So that's why I built the blog, and that's why I proposed, and that's think that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice blog. I mean, I gave Duncan credit. You know, the template is really easy to follow. I mean, you know, everything's over on the right hand side for the, you know, the blog role and everything else. I mean, you know, and how long have you been blogging?
Well, personally, I've just been blogging for a couple months now. It hasn't been a very long time. Before that, I had a e-newsletter that I would send out to, I think right at its peak, it was around 200 readers. It was called Fanform. And that's back when, I mean, just to kind of give you a little background, you know, I was with the Dean campaign, and I was very active in politics during the last election. But as I was going through all of that, I was essentially very angry with a lot of the way that things were going down, and I found myself contributing to the problem. I found myself making Fanforms into more of like a screed, you know, as opposed to something that was actually informing people. Mm-hmm. So I just looked at that hypocrisy right there, that I was contributing to the problem, and I said, you know what, I need to stop this. And so slowly Fanformed got, you know, started to get more understanding of, like, you know, what the other sides were, and then I proposed this blog to bring in other voices, because I think at the end of the day, I think diversity of opinion is essential, and you don't have a lot of blogs out there right now that take into account both sides. Mm-hmm. You know, usually they're very dismissive, you know, and I understand why. I mean, you know, it's very seemingly a very divisive time right now in our history, our politics, et cetera, et cetera. But if you look at it, truly, I mean, we have a lot more freedoms than, you know, we ever have. And so that's why it always really makes me curious as to why this is happening. And I think a lot of it has to do with the media. A lot of it has to do with the stories that we're fed. A lot of it has to do with a focus on the really extreme voices, the people who will say, like, all liberals are idiots or all conservatives are fascists, mm-hmm. you know, those types of things. So my experience, like I said, is limited, but I figured, you know, there was, you know, no better time than the present.
That's true.
To try and change that.
Now, where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm calling from Kansas City, Missouri.
Ah, I do this news to you segment. Any big news in Kansas City? What's the big news right now? No.
Well, the Royals, our baseball team just broke their losing streak at 19 games.
Yeah,
they almost had it. They almost had the record, and I was pulling for him.
You're kidding me. He wound up the
well, they had to go down in history for something. I mean, it's like if not the worst losing streak, then I mean I don't think they're going to set any other records this season. I mean, you know, at a point, you know, you're so bad that you have to, you know, almost just say, okay, you know, let's do something right,
yeah.
What's wrong. No, I mean, I kid, but, like, that's basically the biggest news that I can't see right now.
Really? Now, when I was a kid, for years I lived in Chicago, and my grandfather and I used to do a road trip in the summer. We'd go to Milwaukee, see the White Sox take the play the Brewers. We drive through Kansas City, stop at Royal Stadium, or I think it's called, Ewing-Kauffman Memorial?
Yeah,
whatever it is. And that's a beautiful park. I mean, back then, it was the AstroTurf. It was hotter than hell in there in August. Like, oh, man, it's like 120 on that AstroTurf. And then it's a beautiful park. Anybody who's ever been there, I urge you to go see Ewing-Kauffman, whatever it is called now. And then they got the fountains out there, right? The fountains?
Oh, yeah, no.
Beautiful.
It is. It's a very beautiful park. They actually replaced the AstroTurf with natural grass some years ago. I think it's probably almost like 10, 15
years
ago. So it's not as hot. But, yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, I went to a game about, I think, a month and a half ago, and
mm-hmm.
there's really not a bad seat in the place.
No, it's a beautiful park.
Yeah.
And then, so anyway, I just want to give a little plug to the Royals. So that's where Rush Limbaugh, well, hoping some of Rush Limbaugh's luck will rub off onto me here on this program. No, I know you're talking about with the, you know, the left to right business, because, you know, usually I've tried to, you know, stay as neutral as possible. I'm a centrist, but I'm a left-leaning centrist, you know, more or less. And like,
right.
I don't know if you read, do you read The Moderate Voice, like Joe Gannon?
Oh, yeah, I wanted to give them a plug on this program, because I think The Moderate Voice is an extremely good blog. It's very balanced. It's,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, I mean, if you want to really get the, you know, you really want to trust somebody, you're probably going to trust people that take into account both sides.
Exactly.
You know? So you can go to the left, you know, the left, and you can go to the right,
mm-hmm.
but you're probably not getting the whole story.
True.
And, you know, between me and the other contributors on the blog, I think you're getting a pretty good, well-rounded view of the world, you know, from people who both oppose the war and were totally in favor of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, what's the big news on your blog right now, today?
The big news on my blog right now, well, let's just pull it up.
What's getting the most reactions?
I know that, well, this actually has something to do with you a little bit. There was a, well, not you, but like, more of like the talk radio thing.
I saw that down a ways. He had her,
yeah, Michael Graham got fired for his comments about Islam.
Yeah.
There's
a Disney station.
On armed service recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
The enlistments are up, but the recruiting goals, they're not going to meet the recruiting goals. But I think, you know, I think the fact that people are re-enlisting means that the people who are actually in the war believe strongly in the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's actually, that's a good sign, because I at this point we have got to
finish the job.
Stick with it.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, we have to finish the job.
Exactly.
You know, and I hope you had mentioned, I had heard you earlier, you mentioned that, you know, we're setting a timetable for about 4 years. I hope that's enough. I do.
Yeah.
Like
I said, it's like a toy. We broke that toy. Now we got to stay there until we fix the thing. You know what I mean? I hate to drag it, you know, making it into like a simple term, but that's what it is. Actually, we went in there, we broke it. Now we have to put the thing back together before we leave. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Colin Powell, like, you know, made that type of comparison before the Pottery Barn.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Break it, you buy it. Although, you know, actually, apart from Pottery Barn, you don't have to buy it.
Yeah. And then also, you had an article in there about talk radio, rushing them or losing audience because they're too much pounding the drums on the political business on there a few days ago.
It seems like at least this is the trend up in Minneapolis, in Minnesota. I would believe it's Minneapolis. You know, I wonder, you know, if people are just getting tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I know I'm tired of it. I of course, you know, and, you know, when I was in the Dean campaign, I started listening to Air America.
Yeah.
And I couldn't listen to Randy Rhoads. I couldn't really listen to Al Franken. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, okay, you're just the left version of these people. And while I think that your points are much more well researched, you know, not necessarily speaking about Randy Rhoads, but it still was like, well, what is this? What is this really helping?
Yeah.
You know. I mean, what is it helping that day in and day out you're launching, you know, missiles over to the other side?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, it's you know, and then the, you know, and then we have this kind of scandal about Air America, you know, where one of their founders, one of the people who put it together, took money from his charity.
Yeah. Right?
And
ridiculous.
You know, anybody who has watched the I believe it's an HBO movie, it was a documentary called Left of the Dial, will see that this guy was really just a scumbag. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, I hate to use that word, but he openly lied. I mean, because you could just see, you know, on the in the documentary that he just lied, you know, with seemingly like he didn't think there were going to be any repercussions.
No,
it really screwed with a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, and in Air America, I mean, we don't have it out here in Vegas, you know, praise God, you know, but. Yeah, I listen to Alan Colmes' program because, you know, he's a liberal, but he's got common sense to him. You know what I mean? He disagrees a lot with what the Democrats are doing. You know, like this thing with Bolton. You know, I saw along, you know, they should just go ahead and approve him because, you know, once Bush is gone, so will Bolton be. So he's not, you know, like the judge things, I think that should be fought over because those are appointments for life. You know, let him air it out, let him slug it out over the judges. But the Bolton thing, let him have him for crying out loud. You know, it's part of his team. You know what I'm saying? You got to let the president have his team. You know, part of the team is the UN ambassador. You know?
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I agree with what you're saying. That you know, you have to give him a little bit of leeway. I don't agree with the fact that, like, and I believe this was the only UN ambassador that was appointed
in recess.
In recess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, it's like, come on, right?
But
you know, I agree. You have to give them a little bit of leeway, and this, you know, and then we have people do play politics. They play games, and especially, you know, around John Roberts. I mean, you see the NARAL ads that tried to link him with, you know, these anti-abortion extremists, and they were wrong in the way that they characterized that. And we have to make sure that we take into consideration that there's a lot of money being funneled into different organizations to fight you know, the Supreme Court justices and you know, and to fight this. But the Bolton thing, I think, is a little bit different. And I just wish that they could have solved that in a different way. But, you know, I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, there was no way they're going to solve that. The Democrats are digging in their heels, and I think Bush knew there's no way they're going to get him through. So, I mean, same thing with Roberts. I think Roberts probably stands a little better chance because American Bar Association gave him like their highest rating ever. So, I mean, that's got to take some of the wind out of their sails to fight, you know, Roberts. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And, I've been pretty supportive of Roberts, honestly. You know, I don't agree with some of the views that he had 20 years ago. You know, he was talking about the wage equality, which, you know, I think his views are wrong. Mm-hmm. But by and large, he seems to have a trend of being a pretty reasonable guy. And, I sincerely hope that he takes that in the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Now, how's the Iraqi Constitution playing on your blog? Getting many clicks on that, or what? I see you have a post there about their Constitution.
Yeah. You know, that's a difficult one. I'm really in favor. I mean, we have blogged about it a couple times. I'm really in favor of them taking as much time as they need. But I understand that there are timelines within their own, you know. They have timelines that they need to meet, or else there's going to be repercussions, you know, on their side.
Mm-hmm.
We have to wait and see. I mean, I don't think the final draft has been delivered yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Right.
Well, I think next week
we have a draft right now, and the draft looks like it's going to fall very much in line with the Islamic law, which, frankly, it's kind of troubling. You know, I mean, I don't want to poo-poo it right now because it's just a draft, right? And I want to give them as much chance as possible to take a look at that, to revise it. But I want to make sure that, you know, I'd like it to be a little bit more secular. You know, I think if we went in there to make sure that democracy is, you know, is what this nation is going to, you know, to have, then I think that we should try to, you know, try to make sure that we give them, or that they have enough time to deliver on that, and I don't know if that's going to happen, and that worries me. But
yeah.
You know, we'll see what they do. We'll see what they come up with. I'm just going to go ahead and take a wait and see attitude.
Now, actually, a question from the chat room. How do you see the state of U.S. politics right now? Like, you're a centrist blogger. I had Matt Unger from the American Centrist Party on a few weeks ago, and he got a good reaction. And I don't know, the country will never, I really don't see a third party coming up to challenge the other two right now. But we see U.S. politics as it stands right now.
Well, I see it as extremely divided. I mean, obviously, Don Clifon is a reaction to that, or, you know, as well as a response to that. And, I wish it wasn't as polarized as it is. And here's the thing. I think it's polarized in certain areas. And I think those certain areas are very visible. I think it's very polarized in the media. I think when the media picks up stories like Cindy Sheehan, you know, and they pick up stories on the right, I think that, you know, we see this very, very clear division, you know, in front of us every single day on the 24-hour news channel. I was actually, it's funny, I was looking through the American Centrist Party site, and there was actually one that, one quote that struck me. It's from Governor Angus King, and it says, I'm too fiscally conservative for the Democrats and too socially liberal for the Republicans, like 75% of the American people.
There you go. Yeah.
And, you know, and I think honestly, if you would, I have seen polls that basically, you know, show that people are by and large pretty moderate. You know, and you see the same type of thing happen when, you know, when Bush, or actually Bush didn't necessarily have to do this, but when Kerry, you know, was going through the primaries, he had to have much more of a, you know, a very strong liberal, look and persona.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you go out to the American public and, you know, and you won the primaries and you're the candidate, you have to push more of a centrist image. And I think it would actually help if somebody just came out with a strong centrist agenda, you know, a strong moderate agenda and said, this is what I am, mm-hmm. you know, this is who I am, this is what I believe in, you know, this makes sense to me, and here's why. Yeah. And I think a lot of the more moderate agendas are a lot more defensible, honestly.
True. I mean, do you see somebody coming out like that? I mean, like McCain. I don't know. I think he's going to be old. He's what, in his 70s now, or about to enter in his 70s. He's going to be old if he runs for in 08. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, you look at Reagan.
Yeah.
You know, Reagan was a Democrat before he was a Republican, and mm-hmm. you know, he came in with the whole, you know, I mean, he was very old, and he got a fantastic line in on, you know, Walter Mondale, you know, about his age.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I think really it's just, do I trust this guy? Do I think he's lying to me or not? And I do believe that if somebody just comes out and says, hey, listen, you know, these are the things that I believe in, and it's more of a moderate agenda, I think it's going to appeal to a lot more people. And I think that's actually why, you know, McCain appeals to more people, because it's seen. I mean, he does go directly against the administration, you know, on, you know, a fair amount of issues, especially the torture issue, which I've been kind of talking about on Don LaFont. I mean, he's talking about saying, you know, no, you don't get carte blanche on treating people however you want to treat them, you know.
Yeah, because they'll come back to bite us in the rear end. Yeah, like what they do to the American troops, then they beat the hell out of them. You know what I mean?
What's that?
I mean, you got to treat the troops, the prisoners, you know, a certain way, or because if they capture a group of our guys, they'll do the same thing to them. You know?
That's kind of my point. I mean, you know, it's about escalation, mm-hmm. right? I mean, where is it going to go? I mean, at a certain point, you have to put a stop to it, and you have to be the better nation. And you know, I understand why they believe that, you know, interrogation is going to, they believe interrogation is going to save lives. And listen, you know, I can't really dispute that. But at the same time, if you allow yourself to you know, use their tactics, and you don't have just standards set that the rest of the world can look at, then it's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the last several presidents, except for Bush, 41, have all been governors. You know, Reagan was a governor, Carter was a governor, Clinton, of course. So, I mean, I think, McCain is a senator, so is Hillary. So, I really, you know, the Chapman was mentioning it to me as well, that you know, all the former presidents, you know, the presidents have been governors.
Well, and that's why I, you know, I kind of been looking a little bit more harder at Richardson.
Yeah, or Mark Warner.
What's that?
Well, Mark Warner, the governor of was it Virginia, West Virginia, one of the Virginias.
I'm not exactly. I think it's Virginia, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's a moderate. They referred him as Clinton Light.
Clinton Light.
Yeah. So hopefully.
which way?
Without the cigar, I without the blue dress. I hope.
Yeah, that would be a welcome change.
Yeah. No, I think. Well, they say he's had some moderate views. He's was a balanced budget in the state he was a governor of. He's. He was endorsed by the NRA. He seems like a very moderate Democrat who's balanced the budget in that state. Of course, all the states you have to balance the budget, but and it gets, you know, it seems like he's gotten some good marks from all across the political spectrum. So.
Well, it's interesting. I'll have to take a closer look at him. There's just so many people to look at right now, and you know, so many contenders that it's tough to to get a really deep view of anybody, but yeah, I'll have to take a closer look at that.
And a question for Chad. What are your future plans for Dunkelfant? As we go into 06 and 08, what are you planning to be doing with the blog?
Well, obviously the midterms are coming up, and that's going to be particularly interesting for us because, you know, I mean, we basically have the option to endorse either party, and I think that's an interesting position to be in. There's going to be, I haven't really announced this much, and I can't really say that much about it because it's not finalized yet. But we plan on bringing somebody on who can actually, can give us a better idea of what a moderate is.
Hmm.
Possibly even scientifically.
Wow.
So that's coming up in the near future.
Wow.
People should look for that.
Very good.
And we'll probably be adding other bloggers. You know, I mean, I really want to have more of a diversity of opinion. You know, even within the people we have already, I think it can be broadened, and I think that we can bring more more voices to the conversation and have it be richer and better as a result.
Hmm. Now, do you see a Perot coming out of the woodwork in 06 and 08?
No, you know, I was totally snowed by the Christopher Walken thing. I mean, completely snowed. And I was like, oh, he's running for president. You know, this guy's going to be the Perot, but I was dead wrong. And I will do my fact-checking a little bit more on that. At the time, I thought that he could be a sort of, you know, a Perot-like figure, but obviously that was fake. Beyond that, I don't think so.
No.
I can't really see anybody else playing that independent card. But, I mean, you never know. Mm-hmm. I don't think Perot was talking this early before the election.
Mm-hmm.
So you could always have somebody who just captures the imagination of the, you know, the nation. And
well, they got to have the money, too. I mean,
you have to have a lot of money.
Yeah, well,
that's what politics is about.
Yeah, and a lot of people say, well, Jesse Ventura, but I think he's pretty much shot all his chances out the door there during that last...
Perot?
Jesse Ventura?
Oh, Ventura.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think he wants to be in politics. I think he had, was it one term?
One term as governor of Minnesota.
Term as governor, and then he was just left.
Yeah.
I think he's probably pretty disinterested in it. I just don't think that he's...
I think,
you know, he was pretty sincere in going into it, but I just think that he just underestimated.
Yeah, he got burned out. And
about.
Yeah, well, then he did the whole thing endorsing John Kerry without speaking a word. He had some spokesman do it, and his beard was like he looked like a goat when he was doing the endorsement. He was standing while somebody else is reading a speech. He's like, oh, man, this guy just ruined any chance he had. I don't know if you ever watched Clutch Cargo as a kid, but he kind of had the Clutch Cargo beard going for him.
No, I haven't watched Clutch Cargo, but I'll take your word for it.
It was horrendous. Yeah, because I thought when he got elected, this is the hope for a third party, because, you know, Ventura runs, you know, is the governor for two terms in Minnesota and does well, it'll propel him, you know, to run for president. He even suggested when he, you know, this is a stepping stone to run for president. Because I've been in Reform Party, I've been in a lot of the third parties, hoping that somehow they catch on fire. But boy, these two, the Democrats and Republicans, are just dug in, and they won't let anybody else in the door. You know.
Well, I think I wish a viable third party would come along, honestly. I don't know if it's the American Centrist Party. I mean, I looked at some of their platforms, some of them I agree with, some of them, you know, I don't agree with. It's tough. I mean, the two-party system is just, it's fairly entrenched in our country, and I'm not exactly sure what's going to change that. I know the Libertarians are starting on a new strategy of really focusing on just little pockets of the nation where their ideology would be more will be more welcome. I think that they're trying to field a lot of candidates in New Hampshire. It's either New Hampshire or Connecticut, but I'm pretty sure it's New Hampshire. So they're focusing really strongly on just a couple places, see if they can dig in a little bit and affect change locally and come up from the grassroots and you know, possibly do it that way. But I do think it's going to take time. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I mean, I hope so. Well, the Libertarians, there's a free state project, I think, over there. I don't know if it's New Hampshire or Vermont. One of those states where people, you know, 20,000 people supposedly have moved there to...
That's right. Yeah, that's what it is, exactly.
Yeah, and I think that's where they're going to try and dig in and make a move. But, I mean, like Michael Badnarik, he was the first guest I ever had in this program, and he was on, and everybody thought he was going to do well. You know, he did okay in Nevada, but, boy, he got washed out by the Kerry-Bush, you know, battle with the swift boats and all that mess. I mean, he just got, you know, knocked out of the box. And then Nader was in there. You know, it's like, oh, man.
Here's the thing. It's like you're going to have, who has the most money, who has the most contacts in the press. I mean, we have a situation right now where you have money and media controlling a lot of the ideas that we get to see.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's another reason for Dauntless Font. The blogosphere is a great tool because it allows, you know, anybody to have a voice. And if anybody can have a voice, then you can basically float any idea out there. Now, obviously, we don't want to go with the extremist ideas. We're looking for ideas that unite people instead of, you know, divide them. And I'm hoping that more voices like, you know, the moderate voice, Joe Gandelman, you know, and our bloggers will start to come out of the woodwork and really define what the common sense, you know, center is in the blogosphere.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I try to do that in my program a lot, try to get to, you know, stay in the middle as much as I can. And but it's hard though, being out there by yourself. I mean, it's like I applaud you and Duncan and everybody for, you know, for trying. Joe Gandelman, he's been at it for a while. And actually, Gandelman used to write for the Chicago Daily News years ago.
Yeah.
So he's an old newsman, and he's also a ventriloquist too. So he works with dummies. So
yeah, I mean, he's a great writer too.
Yeah.
So he's much better writer than I am.
But,
you know, the people that we have, and you know, this is one of the things too. I mean, like. It's a little bit selfish of me, but you know, I did create the site, and I brought in people who I feel that are, you know, smarter than me. You know, I want to you know, I want to learn just as much as, you know, I want to share my opinions. You know, and people like Michael Toden and Montag and Kelmicus and Cicero. You know, I mean, you have these voices. And, you know, and Duncan has done some blogging on there too. But you have these voices that are very strong. They make incredibly good points.
Yeah,
and you can't help but consider them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just starting, but I think that we're going to affect some change in the blogosphere.
Well, I mean, it's hard to get noticed. I know the bloggers have, unless you're hooked up with some, you know, in MSNBC or something, or like my program. It's hard to get noticed out there. Everything's so corporate now. You know what I mean? It's a fight.
It is corporate, and then the blogosphere is one of the ways to. How many times can I say the blogosphere?
No,
the blogosphere. I keep on saying that.
No, my program is built on the blogosphere, so it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things. But that is the power of this medium.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it won't be overtaken by corporate interests. And I think that people are fighting to make sure that it's not taken over by corporate interests. And I think people are fighting to make sure that it's not subject to campaign finance laws.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that there has been legislation, you know, proposed to restrict, you know, what bloggers can say under campaign finance laws, which I just think is, you know,
ridiculous.
Yeah,
First Amendment right to free speech, right?
So yeah, I mean, we're talking about a situation right now where, you know, it's not bought and paid for,
mm-hmm.
So we can essentially, you know, voice our, you know, our views, and you know, in a clumsy way, in a very eloquent way, you know, I mean, it's just. It's a good medium to get the, you know, the normal person's view out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be working very well, and it seems to be catching on, and that's why we're lending our voice to the discussion, because we think that it's valuable to define like a very, you know, very strong center. In the middle of all of this noise.
True. Now, Justin, the last question for you before we let you go is, if Dunkelvent could cover any major political story of the past, what would it be and why? This is supposed to be when we cry.
Any political story?
Yes. If you can cover any political story from the past, what would it be and why?
Oh, my God. What kind of, if you were a type of tree, what tree would you be?
Exactly. That's what, my Barbara Walters question.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
Are you tearing up? Are you crying over there?
Yeah. No, I, that's a tough one. Maybe I'm just going to have to answer that on the blog.
Really? Well, that could drive some traffic.
Blog question.
There you go. Go to Dunkelvent and,
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fair. It's fair. Let me see. Any story. Well, you know, Sean,
it's okay.
I can't answer that. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Don't.
I mean, I know that's a total sellout, but
No.
I'm just drawing a complete
line. That's all right. How about Watergate? That's always a safe question. Always a safe answer. Just say Watergate. That's always a wonder if
I
yeah. No?
I think two other reporters did that better than we could.
Well,
and here's the thing, too. I think
how about Zippergate?
The blogosphere is a little bit different
than
your mainstream media. And so, you know, you saw a blog like Powerline, you know,
mm-hmm.
basically debunk the documents that CBS had about, you know, Bush's National Guard records.
Very good.
And, you know, and sometimes that investigative journalism can happen. You know, personally, what would I like to go back and report on? I mean, like, I think it'd be really fascinating to be a reporter in one of the wars. You know, I mean, whether it be Vietnam or whether it be World War II, I think I think those wars would, you know, it'd be extremely fascinating to see the type of psychology and the type of, you know, type of brotherhood and the type of, you know, things that go on during that period. But any specific event, like, I can't really.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, Justin, we'll let you go. We're down to our last seconds of our first hour, so we appreciate you being on.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, Justin. Thank you very much.
All right, bye.
Thank you. And that was Justin Gardner, for the blogger behind the Dunkelvent blog. So we appreciate being on. It was a nice interview. It's a nice new blog. It's pretty well laid out. I like it. So anyway, we'll be coming back in just a few minutes with our second hour. We'll open up our our new segment, which is called The Subject for a Discussion. We'll open up with, should we announce what the subject's going to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about illegal immigration in the United States. That'll be our subject for a discussion. And then Aaron Douglas is expected to be calling in at about 20 minutes into the second hour. So I was hoping he'd be here in the studio, but he must be gambling somewhere. So anyway, we'll be back in just a couple minutes, and enjoy the music interlude, and we'll talk to you in about 2 minutes. Thank you.
Hey! the moon.
And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Max, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want, just don't call me late for dinner. We got to come up with some music for this this segment, the Subject for a Discussion, Subject to a, whatever it is. And because we're going to bat around the subject for a few minutes until Aaron Douglas calls in and about, where are we at here? About 10-15 minutes or so. And the Subject for a Discussion tonight is illegal immigration. Illegal immigration is running loose again. We have a story I saw on Fox where they're pulling people out of trunks. They hauled out the trunk, but the wheel well where the spare tire goes. There's people in there. They pulled some girl out of a gas tank from a truck that was actually in the gas tank in the gasoline with a air hose going out of the car. It was disgusting.
Jeez.
Yeah, and
is she dead?
No, she's alive, but she was covered in gasoline. But she had an air hose going out of the gas tank, so she lived.
You can get really horrible chemical burns from that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I don't know how they stuffed her into the gas. I mean, I get opened up and threw her in, I guess. But anyway, we have a couple stories of illegal immigration. My thing, illegal immigration, we got to secure those damn borders. You know, I mean, you got a story about the effect on illegal immigration to Nevada, right?
Yeah, Nevada, okay. In particular.
Yes.
There's a site called fairus.org. It's www.fairus.org. And they've got it broken down through every single state in the entire union as to how much it affects your impact on environment and quality of life. They go through what kind of water rights you have and how all the illegal aliens affect it, the traffic. Let's see, here's a few more. The lack of affordable housing, air pollution. It's all things that like here in Vegas, we get hit really hard with this because we grew so fast, so quickly that, I mean, our infrastructure for roads just couldn't handle it. And
yeah. Well, not all that could be attributed to illegal immigration, though, but a lot of it's the population explosion.
Yeah, you know? But that was also the same period of time. And we have over 500,000
illegal.
As of 2000. 2000, we have over 500,000
illegal immigrants in Las Vegas?
In Nevada.
In Nevada, which probably most of them in Las Vegas.
Yeah, over 100,000 as of, this report came out, it comes out every 10 years. So I pretty much figure that doubled by now.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, we got a problem with health care, emergency health care, and of course, if they have children and are born here, then they're automatically, American citizens, and yada yada yada. And then, it's ridiculous. You know, and then finally, those two states, Governor Richardson, who, as I said before in the first hour, I respect him, and maybe he'll be the presidential candidate. Him and the governor of Arizona, Napolitano.
That was a very.
That's like 80% up, whatever it is, finish that fence up, and then I'd bring, there's, 75,000 troops in Germany, bring them home, and I'd put 25,000 on the border of Mexico and the United States, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, divide them up, back up the Border Patrol, and put their 25,000 up on the border between the United States and Canada. That's as bad as it. And there's a spot in Canada where the border is guarded by a bunch of ducks. Like a family of ducks guards it with I don't know if you've heard that story, the cones. And it says there's a sign there, border is only open between 9 and 5, or it is. Please come back later. I mean, there's no gate. You can just drive right through there, And they got the ducks walking back and forth guarding the border. I mean, it's stupid, And what else you got about this? I mean, it's nuts.
A lot of people don't realize the actual impact that these illegal aliens actually create. I mean, here in Nevada, from the same report from in 2000, we actually had to do a bailout of our own emergency rooms here in Las Vegas alone of over $5.8 million. And, I mean, that's a lot of money. And we don't pay state taxes, but that comes straight out of all of our government taxes from all the gambling that goes on.
Uh-huh.
And so that takes the money away from new schools, from new bus routes, takes away from all that. I'm not like someone that's going to really go off on all the Greenpeace people and everybody, but it seems like most of them, they tend to not mind all the illegal immigration. They sort of be on those people's side. But
some people advocate open borders. That's what the clown in Mexico, the president, what's his name, Fox?
Yeah.
So he wants open borders. Only way you could see that is if we annex Mexico so we can get their oil and natural gas.
Oh, we don't want to do that.
Saying, And then, O'Reilly, of course, Bill O'Reilly's never wrong, of course, but he had a thing on his show that there's, 11 million illegal immigrants in the United States right now. And I said, if we do put up the fence, bring in the troops and all that, and block the borders, no way we can round up 11 million people and throw them out of the country.
You'd actually be very surprised. If we were giving away free licenses, these people would start leaving because they wouldn't be able to have the jobs here that are making them all the money that they can send back, because that's money that's leaving here. They do actually, the big argument is that they contribute with taxes as far as sales taxes and everything. But you have to remember this. If I'm out of town and I'm out working on a job site somewhere, I'm not going to be going out and buying a new car. I'm not going to be going out and buying these big dollar things. I'm going to buy sandwiches. I'm going to buy sodas. I'm going to buy these little tiny things that most food isn't taxed in the United States. So you're not going to get a big pushback. But going back to that pollution thing, just here in Vegas, we actually have some of the highest levels of air pollution in the entire country, which has been linked to the state having the highest rate of adult asthma in the country, which is 13% for the entire Nevada. There's 13% of adults have adult asthma. And that's also linked to the extra 38 hours a year we have to spend on the freeways due to this massive amount of illegal immigration that's going on.
Yeah, it's
and they actually broke it down, too. If they got rid of this many percentage of cars people have and everything, that this is how much time we're spending on these freeways, an average of 38 hours a year.
Yeah. Now, somebody in the chat room said, just lay a minefield, they'll stop them. You can't put a minefield on that border. We got women and children coming over. I mean, granted, they're not supposed to be coming, but you can't be blowing these people up. I mean, yeah, if you strengthen that border, I mean, that's the problem, strengthen that border. You know, I had a story about some ranchers losing their home because, I don't know what happened, and they're on the border, and they end up losing their ranch to illegal immigrants. I mean, I don't know what happened to that story now, but, I mean, I think the point is you got to strengthen that border. You know, that's the thing. You know, build that fence, put the troops there. You know, and it's 11 million people. I don't know. I say just legalize all of them, because I don't think you can go back and, you know, round up 11 million people. I mean, think about it. This is our government we're talking. There's no way they're going to round up 11 million people. You know,
they're not going. Most of them aren't going to actually go and be naturalized anyway.
Exactly.
When Reagan did it, I think he got like half or like a quarter. Because they were scared that it was a big trick.
Yeah, to surround them up, to throw them out. Yeah. I mean, let them stay, because you can't go hounding these. You know, for crying out loud, we're not going to have troops running around the streets of the United States running up illegal immigrants.
Well, we have no place to put them. We only have, the INS only has 19,000 beds in the entire United
States.
Well,
some of these people, they let go because they're not from Mexico, and they have no place to send them or put them. So they give them some kind of a visa into the United States. I had that a few weeks ago, too. And then they're from whatever country they're from, and they come through Mexico or over from Canada, and they're not from those countries, so we can't just ship them back to, you know, England or wherever they come from, so that, you know, they just give them a visa and off they go. But they have to promise to show up at the in court.
Only 87% don't show back up.
The other ones are
actually the ones
honest.
The 13% aren't honest. They're actually incarcerated for a previous crime committed here to begin with. Mm-hmm. We actually have a 0% rate of these people showing back up to court.
That's ridiculous.
It's out of control.
Like I said, anybody wants to call in and chime in about legal immigration, we've got a couple more minutes till Aaron Douglas calls in. 1-866-587-6257, or in Las Vegas or out of the country, it's 702-383-8120. I mean, it's just... something's got to be done, because these two illegal immigrants win the Arizona ranch in court. It's about I was able to follow this whole story because it's rambling. Some Mr. Nethercutt bought the ranch in 2003 for $120,000. And somehow something happened. They wound up having to give the ranch over to the illegal immigrants. I don't know if they shot them or something. I don't know whether, because the story doesn't give what happened. And I don't know. They signed over the land to the two immigrants last week. So something went down. At some land got signed over to the illegal immigrants for something went down. I don't know.
It's probably the same thing where it was over in California, where that guy fell through the glass roof in the people's house and broke his back on their dining room table, and then he owns their house now.
The legal system is a problem, too, you know. And what Darth Cottle says, if we tax Canadians who vacation in Las Vegas, we can close the federal deficit. I don't know.
That's getting close to being true.
But there's a lot of money involved. I mean, and now, you know, you got Lou Dobbs. He's been pounding the drums about this for a couple of years now. You know, O'Reilly's starting to get into it now. And then, all these other programs starting to really, Hannity and Combs spent the whole week. And Sean Hannity was down there. I mean, it's an issue. And I think in 06, it's going to be a big issue.
That we don't do, which most every other country does, is... we actually don't charge to come in on our borders and everything.
I just hope we can solve this issue. I mean, it's a horrendous issue that's got to be solved. I mean, I said, put up the damn fence, you know, bring the troops home from Germany. We're not, who are we protecting Germany from? Nobody's going to, attack Germany now. You know, bring these troops home, divide them up, and put some on the border of Mexico, some on the border of Canada, and bring, that's the simplest solution. You know, why not do that? Why are we, those troops sitting there doing nothing in Germany? You know, bring them home. We got important issues here to take care of. You know, have bolster the Coast Guard and have the ships, patrolling the seas and stop these people from Cuba from coming here on the boats. You know, I mean, is it too much common sense that they should do this? I mean, I don't know what it is. So, but anyway, I think we're ready for our guest, huh? Ready for our guest? I think
we're
ready for our guest.
Are.
Aaron Douglas, you there, sir?
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Hi, welcome, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much.
I gave you direction to the studio, but I guess you're busy, that's all right.
Yeah, I got a dinner to go to, got a show, I'm in Las Vegas, you know how it is.
Ah, what show are you going to see?
We think we're probably going to go see Zumanity.
Zumanity over at New York, New York, yes.
Yeah.
Outstanding show.
It's I went to Ka last night.
Ah, yeah, Ka's at MGM, it's very good, it's a martial arts-based show. There you go. How'd you like it?
It was good. It was good. It was really good. Every time I see those shows, I'm just always amazed at what people can do with their bodies. Just, yeah. It really is incredible. I think I've seen O, I've seen Mystere, and I've seen now Ka. I still think O is probably my favorite, but they're all spectacular for sure.
Yeah, O is sold out usually 6 to 8 months in advance, so you must be a high roller if you got tickets to that. You know?
I know. I have friends in high places.
Ah. So how's it going? Now, you've been doing a hell of a job on the show. I mean, we had you on a few weeks ago during the Comic-Con, but damn, it's like it's been all Tyrol all the time on the show, huh?
All Tyrol, all day. Yeah. No, it's been, the writers have been really, really good to me. Ron Moore, David Icke, and their team. Bradley Thompson and David Weddle are the guys that always take care of me with some great scripts, so... Yeah. I wasn't in episode 6, so I had an episode off last week.
Yes.
Episode 7, which airs, I guess, day after tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrol's back for a little bit, and then 8's got a little bit, and then 9 is a pretty big Tyrol episode. And yeah, it's nice. I'm sort of one of the small big cast, I guess it would be.
Yeah, I mean, well, you've had all those scenes on Cobol, which are outstanding, with the with Tarn getting killed and Crashdown, and all that. That's damn good. And then those scenes with Sharon back on the ship. I mean, you've done some damn good work on the show. You know?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to shoot. A lot of fun having a lot of stuff to do. But the downside of that is, you guys, you know, every single day you're sort of living in a world of my friend just died.
Yeah.
So I've got the first 4 episodes, I think every episode somebody dies.
Yeah.
Near and dear to me. Other than Crashdown, of course.
Yeah.
But you're constantly, when you're shooting, you've either, somebody's just died, or somebody's about to die, or someone is dying, mm-hmm. and so you're dealing with that. So that was about a month and a half of sort of living in a world of death and sadness and all of that, and then you get home from that, and you just want to have a scotch and go to bed.
Yeah, well, then Ty beats the hell out of you back on the ship, right?
Yeah. That son of a bitch.
Yeah, that
get
old
back to the ship, and I get wailed on. That's not good.
That old bastard. You know, and then they had you kind of give away the Pegasus deal, because you served in all these ships, and of course they say the Pegasus and all that. So it's like, they kind of planted the seeds that the ship's showing up, you know what I mean?
On the Pegasus stuff.
Yeah, well, no, because you're seeing with Ty, you said you served on Battlestar since you're 18, you served on the Pegasus and Columbia and whatever the hell the other one was, and it's like, whoa, you kind of planted the seed that the Pegasus is coming, you know?
Yeah, you know, a lot of fans have picked up on that. I never even put, I really honestly and truly did not put 2 and 2 together.
Really?
I really didn't.
Wow.
I think I read that online at some point, or somebody came up to me at a convention over the last couple of weeks and said, So Tyrol served on the Pegasus then, and I was like, I don't think so. And they said, no, in episode 4 you have this line where you say, I've served on Battlestar since I was 18, blah, blah, blah. And I thought back and I realized, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, to be honest with you, I have no idea if that was just, if they were just listing off Battlestars that they know exist in the Galactic Universe, or if the writers sort of have something that's coming up that Tyrol is involved in this, there's something in his past that he knows Kane or Fisk or somebody.
Wow.
But at this point, to be honest, I have no idea what that's about.
Huh. And he had those scene, that scene at the end of the one episode with Sharon, which was shot by Callie in the old, what the hell, Jack Ruby style. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was very cool. It's really quite shocking. When I finally saw it, I was even more surprised than I thought I would be, even though, you know, the story that's coming up and stuff, you try and get lost in the story as much as possible and not think about the script that you did 2 months ago when you were shooting it. But she really does come out of nowhere, and it is totally Jack Ruby. And the funny part of that is on the day when we were shooting it, they were bringing around pictures of like stills from the actual video. There's that video that everybody's seen a thousand times. So they were taking stills of that, and they were bringing it around, and they were showing all of the the Marines that were escorting her through, they were showing all these Marines and saying, okay, you're the guy in the white hat, and you're the guy in the brown suit, and this is the sequence of what they do, and they flip through these five or six pictures and just to show what these guys did over right when it happened, and they wanted to sort of mirror it as much as possible. I don't know why, but that's what they wanted to do.
Well, that's outstanding. Go ahead, Mark.
That would be a normal reaction. I mean, what those guys saw, what happened there, they didn't expect that to happen. That's why it would be, you know, a great thing to actually copy from.
Yeah. Are you happy with the way the second season is unfolding so far for the actors?
For me, yeah, absolutely. Especially because, you know, I get some really cool stuff to do. They're really being good to me, and it's a great show to be on, and it's, you know, critically acclaimed, and everybody likes it, and so yeah, no, absolutely. I like the fact that they're giving Tyrell things to do other than just Tyrell and Sharon. You know, that I think that would be a dead horse that could get flogged very easily if they kept going Tyrell and Boomer, Tyrell and Boomer, Tyrell and Boomer. But they're doing other things with the Tyrell character, which is good, because I wouldn't want to get stuck into a, oh, geez, she's gone. Oh, geez, she's gone. Oh, she was a silent. I can't believe it for 25 episodes or something, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I keep going back to that scene with Ty. I mean, that was, did you like that scene? It was very tense between you and Ty. I thought that was outstanding.
The scene with Ty and I.
Yeah, you're sweating, and he thought you were a Cylon. I mean, that was incredible. I mean,
well, the great thing about that scene is it finally gave me an opportunity to work with Michael Hogan.
Mm.
Since the miniseries, he and I haven't had anything that's sort of really one-on-one, and he is such a great actor. He really, I think, the first three or four episodes, I think Michael Hogan's the best piece of the show, and he's such a great guy too. Mm-hmm. So. When I read that and I got to come in and, you know, it's Michael and I spending 6 hours in a room together talking at each other, which was really, really, really cool and very, I was very impressed with just working with him. He's a great guy and a really a tremendous actor.
Yeah. So where are you at now? You're at New York or what?
I am at the Mirage.
Ah.
I'm at my hotel right now.
Ah. But the Samantha is an outstanding show. I used to work at New York. A lot of nudity in that show. A lot of male and female nudity in Zumanity.
Well, I'm hoping. I'm hoping.
Well, you
know. Either that or if it doesn't work out for me, I got to head off to the Experiment Rhino or the, you know, Olympic
Garden. Oh, the OG.
Like that. I don't know.
The Olympic Garden. How about that?
Apparently somebody's got an in with Olympic Garden.
I know.
Here in Vegas. We not exactly sure what his name is, but apparently he can help me out.
We got to hook up. I mean, I can help you. You know, next time you come down, you have to come into the studio. I got to coordinate this a little bit better. I was away this morning. My mother's in the hospital, so I was away with that. And I didn't get your email till later in the day, so I apologize for that.
Oh, that's no worries. No, but how's your mom? Is she all right?
She's all right. She's got some, she's had some strokes and everything, so it's, you know, every time she feels dizzy, off we go to the hospital, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure she's all right, you know? But, I mean, now, looking for the second 10 episodes, anything big coming up for Tyrell we should keep an eye out for?
You know what? I have no idea. I haven't seen anything past episode 12. I don't have storylines. I don't have synopsis. I don't have anything. I finished shooting episode 11. They had the read-through for 12 today, which I wasn't at.
Uh-oh. Did you phone it in?
No, I didn't phone it in. I didn't do anything.
Oh. Doesn't I'm almost?
Vegas, man, I am dead to the world.
Doesn't Eddie?
I think we start shooting that on Monday or Tuesday, and then...
Really?
I don't know anything. I don't have no idea what's coming up. There's a very cool... I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but there is some really amazing President Roslin stuff coming up.
Uh-oh.
Episode 12 it is, I think it is, yeah, is a very, very cool episode for Mary.
Uh-oh, is she dying? Is she going to die in that episode?
She's supposed to die.
I have no idea. Hey. I didn't read that page. I just read the rest of it.
I think she's going to die, and you're going to take over as the president of the colonies. How about that?
Well, hey,
Cyril, President Cyril, yeah.
There you go.
I'd go over like a lead balloon with Baltar, wouldn't it? He'd love that.
What? The chief is president of the colonies, and I'm vice president still? That's unacceptable.
Yeah, he's had some pretty good stuff this season, and a lot. The sexuality's been toned down a little bit this season, yeah?
What's that? Sorry, it's really loud here.
That's right. The sexuality on the show has been toned down a lot this season. You don't see him and Six, you know, humping like they used to do every week, you know?
Yeah, no. I think they sort of listened to... It's interesting because I know, being a sci-fi fan like I am, I know how a lot of the fans out there really don't think that the network or the studio or anybody ever pays attention to anything that they say online or anything they talk about or anything that they do. Mm. But it, the exact opposite is the case. Ron Moore is very, very attentive to everything that goes on. Whether he acts on what people are talking about or not is really not indicative of how much he actually pays attention to what people are looking at and watching and looking for. And I know the same goes for everybody at the network, too. Mm. They are just absolutely 100% supportive. Like, Bonnie Hammer loves this show.
Yeah.
She absolutely loves it. And she loves the fact that it's a critical success and, mm. and that sci-fi now has a critical success. And regardless of ratings or anything, she just goes, huh, I love this show.
Really?
And so they really do pay attention. And I think that, that the toned-down sexuality is probably... I'm just sort of talking out of my butt here, but my impression would be that it would be because people are, okay, yeah, no, you've explained that to us, you showed that to us, so how about let's talk a little bit about more about the stories and the relationships and the people and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great to get away from that, because I always say that a man can only be seduced by a beautiful woman so many times before he starts to tune her out. It's like same thing with a woman. You just eventually start to just tune people out, and I think that if Baltar would go on being seduced by Six for five or six seasons, you'd really start to just tune it out. And I would start to not believe it as much, because you just cannot swoon and fall like that. You just, I don't think the human animal is built like that.
Hey, you get sickly after a while.
They got away from that, and I think it's good.
Yeah, I mean, like to see Six seduce Tyrell a few times. They'd be kind of different, you know?
If Six seduced Tyrell.
Yeah.
Well, I think if they had scenes with most of the women on the show seducing Cheryl, I think that would be an excellent suggestion.
Yeah.
Duella. Unbelievably attractive.
Duella, yes.
Yeah, good. You know, I there's a myriad. There's a whole bunch of women that work on the show that are unbelievably beautiful and sweet and tremendous and intellectual and fabulous people that do background work, that are regular background people. I'd like to give them a couple lines and have them come over and blow kisses at Cheryl. I think that would be very cool.
Yeah, Aaron, after the show, Aaron, I've got a phone number. You can give it to all these girls. My name's Mark, by the way.
I got a new producer. His name is Mark. I fired the other loser who used to do the show. But
well, I have a question for
you.
Go ahead. I want to know if anyone's ever come to you with a theory about the show like this, that everything is actually based on the Cylons trying to make all the prophecies come true, and they're directing everything going along and making things happen if they aren't going to happen. If they don't stumble into making it happen, then they actually force the issue.
Did you hear him?
Oh, I totally lost that.
Oh, no, he's saying that what do you think of the idea that the Cylons are forcing all these prophecies to come true, trying to force things to happen according to the Book of Kobol, wherever it is, yeah?
Are the Cylons
forcing
events to happen to sort of mirror
mirror all the
Bible of Kobol?
Yes, to make all the prophecies come true. They're forcing.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, is that a Republican Party question?
Hey,
no, it's
good question. And to be honest with you, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not trying to pump you for information. I was just wondering if you've ever heard of that before.
Yeah.
You know what? No, I don't think so. I know that sort of flies around in conspiracy theories about real life and some factions of the world trying to force the prophecies and revelations to come true in biblical terms. But whether the writing of the show is mirroring that or not, to be honest with you, I don't have a clue. It's a good question, though. That's a great question. I'll ask Ron next time I see
him. Yeah, actually, I have a question from Koenig Rules. He's asking, why do the original series only fans watch the show? Yeah, they hate the new show, but they're watching it anyway.
You know what? That is one of my favorite questions.
Uh-huh.
Because I read the boards a lot. I've stopped posting on them, but I still go when I read.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few people on there, well, there's a good number of people on there that spend an inordinate amount of time watching an episode, rewatching an episode, and then spending days and weeks online talking about why they hate it so much and they just want this show to die and it's so bad. I cannot, for the life of me, understand why people would donate so much time of theirs to a show that they absolutely abhor.
I don't know.
I think CSI Miami is one of the worst shows ever produced on television.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I just don't watch it.
Yeah.
I never turn to that channel. I never watch it. And if people ask me if I watch it, I go, no, I don't. Well, did you see the episode? No, I didn't. I didn't see it. I have no idea what you're talking about, so let's not even talk about it anymore, because it's a terrible show, and I just don't watch it. That's the extent of my thing. These original series fans, and God bless them, I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I just was in Birmingham, England, 2 weeks ago with eight of the original cast, and I loved that show. And good for them to still holding on to loving it, because I do the same. But if you don't like the new show, just don't watch it. Change the channel. I don't understand why they have to spend so much time on the boards just railing away.
I know.
Just don't watch it and let it go.
It
really is. It's bizarre. Really bizarre.
It's nuts. I mean, like, I think I told you in emails, I've gotten some nasty stuff from when I start doing these, you know, segments about the new show. I mean, I play the music, I play the old Cylons. You act like I shot somebody here, you know. It's like, what are you doing playing the Cylons after the new show's music? I'm like, what the hell? It's just the damn Cylons talking, you know.
Yeah,
There you go.
The new series has just passed the old series in terms of episodes produced.
Exactly.
So if it died right now, we'd win. If you want to have a winner or a loser, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have the old original series box set DVD at home.
Hmm.
You know, I grew up on it. I love it. I like the new show too.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we just all can't go. They're great shows for their own reasons. Stop comparing them.
Yeah, I think Battlestar's actually got one of the awesome qualities of the old series Babylon 5, where it's got the politics, it's got the interpersonal relationships, and it continues it on, and it doesn't deviate like all these other ones like Star Trek and all of them. Everything just kind of changes, and they invent something, and ooh, they fixed everything.
Yeah.
You know, you guys with your show is just awesome how some things don't get fixed. You know, some things go horribly bad, and that's what happens.
Yeah, did you hear him, Aaron?
Well, life, right?
Yeah.
Things go horribly wrong, and we just let them go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And somebody dies.
Well,
that's life.
Yeah.
I think that's what's so great about the show. Literally, we read the scripts, and we thumb through them really quickly to see who. It's funny. You start at the back, and you look at the last three pages to see who died, and it's you go flip, flip, flip. You open the back page and you look and you go and I look for my name. I go Cheryl. Okay, Cheryl tells Adama, yes sir, and walks away. Yes, walks away. Okay, Cheryl's still alive. All right, okay, let's another episode. Because you don't know. You really don't know. You just you look for yourself exiting screen or walking off camera, and that's it. Then you know that you're alive for one more episode.
Yeah, and then, well, Ron Moore has said several times that the show is not going to be a Star Trek where it's a perfect ending every week, and you know, some things are not going to be answered on this show, which is good, you know?
Yeah, no, and I think that's what works about it, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen to who, and you're sort of, the only way that you know that it's not going to get resolved is because you're looking at the clock on the wall that says, okay, it is 9:52, and there's no way that they're going to wrap this up in 8 minutes plus commercial and credits.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if you saw last week's show, but boy, they're starting Galactica really fast now, right after Stargate Atlantis. Their credit came out, and up came your guys' opening, the recap from last week. Do you watch it on Sci-Fi?
No, we're in Canada. We don't get the show. The only way I've watched it is I've had friends in the States, and also I go to the production office and steal the episodes and then go home and watch them.
Yeah,
but I have no idea what it looks like on Sci-Fi.
Yeah. Now, a question for chat room. Would you be open for a crossover between Galactica and the Stargates?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, no. What was that?
Oh, would you be open if Galactica crossed over with the Stargate shows?
Galactica crosses over with the Stargate.
Yeah, if he had a crossover storyline, it involves all three of the shows.
Whose idea is that?
Somebody in the chat room private messaged me that.
God.
It'd be interesting. I don't know how they pull that off.
You know what? I would.
That's going way, way out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
You'd have to have a Stargate. They find a Stargate on Cobol. Richard Dean Anderson comes back for an episode. have coffee with Commander Adama and the President Roslin.
There you go.
That'd be pretty funny.
There you go.
I think I would be over at the sci-fi home office throwing eggs at the front door if they decided to do that. And I'm not even like a massive sci-fi freak or anything.
Yeah, be egging Bonnie Hammer's house if they did that, why not?
That's hilarious.
Well, you get all kinds.
I guess Tyrell and Shanks would get together and sort of talk about how to build things.
Or you hook up with, who's that chick that's on Stargate SG-1 now, that chick, she was on Andromeda last year. Now she's a doctor on,
Robot Girl.
Yeah.
I have no idea what her name
is. So I don't know. Do you watch the other shows? Do you watch Stargate?
No, I don't, because they're like 3 years behind in Canada, so I have no idea what's going on with them. I got a friend of mine's in, Paul McGillion is in Atlantis.
Mm.
But I don't watch his show, and he doesn't watch mine, so...
No.
Or at least closetedly, we don't watch each other's show.
Well, you know,
really,
you could...
we're nerdy fans. Just
How was your trip to the UK? I believe you were just at a convention at the UK.
Yeah, I was in Birmingham for what the heck was it called? Something at the NEC in Birmingham.
How was it?
That was great fun. It was too short to fly all that way for 4 days. It was just way too short. But I had a lot of fun. It was great. Very interesting. Met some really cool people.
Yeah, somebody said you bumped in a couple of fans of my program over there, huh?
Bumped into who?
A couple of fans of my program over there.
Yeah.
You serious?
Yeah. No, absolutely. There's, you know what? Everywhere I go, people are like, "I heard John LZ rocks. That was really cool." Oh, that's great.
Wait a minute. This is not a nerdy show. I do my news and stuff. This is a serious program I'm doing here.
No. Next weekend. Next week I'm going to be at home. I'm going to put this thing on and I'm going to listen from 6 o'clock because I really want to hear the news talk. I'm coming to the States because you get all this talk radio and it's just either like ultra right wing conservative Christian talk radio or like the super left wing going, and the Christians are lying to us and here's why.
I'm not like that at all.
No,
I'm pretty moderate.
Sean does.
As you should be.
Exactly.
No hard stance. Everybody, you know, big melting pot, let's all get along.
That's what I said. I've said that, you know, numerous times that, this program is also iPod. Do you have a podcast? Yeah, or do you have an iPod?
Oh, yeah.
Really? See?
I got one from NBC for Christmas last year.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Does it work?
Oh, yeah.
Is it
fabulous.
Must be GE. Is it a GE iPod?
No, it's a Mac.
Didn't blow up yet?
And I have a Mac. No, it's fantastic. It's
really?
Great. Yeah, Jeff Zucker gives the best Christmas and birthday presents ever.
Really? Not according to David Letterman. David Letterman said when he worked there, he got nothing from NBC when he was working with them.
Well, that's David Letterman. Maren Douglas, come on.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I forgot.
No, those guys, they seriously, NBC gives you the best birthday and Christmas presents. They just rule.
Really?
Really, really fun.
Yeah. I mean, NBC Universal, my God, they got, you know, how many channels now? 20 cable channels?
More money than God.
Yeah.
So you think that they would, yeah, and they do.
I think their home office is starting to become looking like the Vatican with gold-plated everything.
But, I mean, it's just, you guys did a great job. I mean, you're doing well the second season. I mean, and my hat's off to the cast. I mean, you all do great, and, everybody visits this program, and I appreciate it greatly. I mean, Katie was on 2 weeks ago, and she pretty much blew down the doors here in the studio.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I told her she's got to come to Vegas with you one of these days.
Oh, yeah. I can't get anybody to come to Vegas with me. This was a surprise trip because it was my birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
You're
I got in the,
21 now?
I'm 29. I've been 29 since the Ford administration. 34 yesterday.
Wow.
Old man, that's right, yeah.
Well, I'm old. I'm five.
A car pulled up in front of the house on Sunday, and I got in and said, "Where are we going?" And they went, "Never you mind." Showed up at the airport and landed in Vegas, and away we go.
Wow, very good. Have you been watching that program over there on FX?
No.
Oh.
No, I want to, though. I got to pick that up and watch it, because I actually auditioned for that show last year, and I really wanted to see how it turned out, because, boy, it sure looks good.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that for the first time you were on. Yeah, it's an outstanding program. I mean, it's incredible. Stephen Boschko is a genius.
Well, Stephen Boschko is just great. Everything he touches turns to gold. Well, almost everything, but... Yeah, he's fabulous, and I knew reading the script, I thought, okay, this is going to be something special. Because whoever gets this is going to be working on something really, really great.
Yeah. Now, do you have any projects outside of Galactica you're working on, or?
No, Galactica keeps me busy. That's about it. I got a small part in Man About Town, which is coming into theaters. which is Gina Gershon, Mike Binder's next movie with Gina Gershon and Mike and Ben Affleck and Cal Penn, a few others. And then, what else is coming? Oh, The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Got a smaller part in that, too. That's coming out.
Huh.
October, November, something like that.
Really? Because I heard rumors that they're going to bring back. Did you ever watch The Lazarus Man? That was a show. It was on TNT. Somebody suggested you should take over the role of the Lazarus Man.
I've heard that rumor too. Something about the Lazarus Man, but I don't know what I'd heard.
Really? Yeah. That was a show that Robert Urich did years ago. It was a Western that he was hung and he didn't die and he woke up. He had amnesia and it tied into the Lincoln assassination and everything. It was a fascinating story, but they never did end it, you know, because Robert Urich passed away, halfway through. But that'd be an outstanding role. You know?
That would be.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
I'll have my people talk to the other people.
There you go. Well, yeah, I'm trying to get you all some work here, you know. I got Katie Sackhoff, she's going to go off and do The Bionic Woman.
Yeah, Sean's just full of it on this program.
I got to pay for this Vegas trip somehow. Come here and lose a fortune. I just hate myself going home.
Hey, you got to go downtown. There's some new clubs open downtown. The Hogs and Heifers just opened down there. Triple George Grill just opened.
Wow, those sound like great places.
Wednesday night.
What is it?
Where to go on Wednesday?
Wednesday night in Vegas.
Pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, but well,
it depends on what you're trying to do. Are you trying to go to a club to see all the?
Yeah, you trying to get laid or trying not to get laid?
Yeah,
I'm going to have fun.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
Sapphire is always a good place to have fun in. Yeah, and then
nudge.
Yeah. What else? Studio 54 is pretty nice. You been to Studio 54?
I am a VIP at Studio 54.
What else is there?
One of my friends runs the sister club of or brother club. Probably sister club because it's
Which
got
one?
A weird name. Teatro.
Teatro. Yeah. Where's Teatro?
Teatro is almost directly across from
Taboo. Taboo. You been to Taboo?
Taboo is that MGM Grand?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Teatro is the
MGM Grand, so I'm familiar with all that stuff. But I'm at the Mirage here.
What's at the? Well, you got Tours Around. They got Tangerine, which is a pretty nice club.
The Tangerine's kind of empty half the time, though.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, there's always one of the greatest ones. It's over there at Mandalay Bay. It's a Foundation Room. It's got the most beautiful view of the entire city.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
How about the Foundation Room? You been up there?
No. Where's that?
It's at the top of Mandalay Bay.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah.
It's in, like, the tower, like the penthouse.
Amazing.
Lounge or something like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. And then the House of Blues, of course, is there. What else? We got Pure over at Caesars, which is closed tonight.
Obe is House of Blues.
Which one?
Obe.
Obe at the House of Blues.
There's too many now.
I'll figure that out.
And then they open
the world is my oyster.
I know.
Myriad of options.
And then say the Hogs and Heifers just opened. It's a bar, a nice bar downtown off of 3rd over by the Lady Luck. With that new place, it's like the Birdcage that Robin Williams and them did the movie. The Celebrity Club, that opened up down there too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so everybody's saying it's a pretty nice place.
There's,
you know?
There's one place I went the other day which was really strange. It was something to do with like hairdressing and everything from LA. And you walk in, and on the side of one of the walls, there's all the little perm units that the women sit down in.
I don't think,
what the hell is this?
I don't think
you
want to go there.
It was a fun nightclub.
Really?
Though.
What is it?
The beauty bar. That's
beauty
what
bar. Where's that at?
It's downtown somewhere. I got lost.
You're gonna get lost, Aaron, if we give you tips. I'm sorry. You're gonna go to.
I'm a cab guy.
How about the Ice House? The Ice House is down on the main, down by the Plaza Hotel. That's a pretty nice place. It's an ultra lounge. So
I don't know if I'd send anybody there.
We got too many ideas for you.
What the kids want to do, and we'll pick one or five and
there you
try
go.
Them all.
There you go. Well, Aaron, we should probably let you go because we're turning to the Chamber of Commerce here on the show. So,
well, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Say hey to Jim for me.
I will.
On soon.
Yes, he will. Right after you, I believe. All right. Thank you.
All right, guys.
All right. Bye. And that was Aaron Douglas Tyrrell from Battlestar Galactica. And we apologize if we turned into the Chamber of Commerce here, but yeah, the poor guy is celebrating his birthday, so we're trying to give him some tips of where to go. You know, the Hogs and Heifers, like I said, it's a brand new club that just a bar just opened downtown. You got the Celebrity Club that down there, it's a bunch of transvestites down there. It's supposed to be a real nice place though, so I don't know.
What's that?
It's called the Celebrities. Transvestites are there running it.
Wow, that's a great place.
Yeah, and I think that'll be Koenig Rules. We just flip them on. Turn them on. Yeah. That's right. Koenig Rules. Are you there, sir?
Yeah. How's
Hi.
It going with me?
it's good timing. We kind of figured as soon as Aaron got, you know, so welcome to the program.
Thanks.
There you go. The Cylons are talking again. So, yeah, it was nice talking to Aaron. Some people are mad we didn't ask him more questions, but he's here celebrating his birthday, so we're trying to give him some tips where to go for his birthday. So,
well, he said he had a limited time.
Yeah.
That was cool that he called.
Yes, yes. Thank you for arranging that. I just wish he could have came and been into the studio, but oh well, it's his birthday. I'm sure he's got other things to do than sit in the studio. You know?
Yeah. Sure.
So how have you been?
Oh, I'm fine. How have you been?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So I was miserable this earlier in the week with the cold, but I lost my voice. I didn't get the voice back until this morning, so I'm glad
wow.
I was able to carry on to do the program. So any big news on the show? The ratings actually went up for last week's episode.
The ratings have been going up for the last 2 weeks. It was at 1.9 in episode 4, then 2 in episode 5, and now in episode 6, 2.1. And so my thinking is Edward James Olmos's reappearance and the ratings have something to they're correlated.
That'll do it.
I think so, too. And then, you know what? I mentioned to Aaron that music they're playing last Friday during the scene with Olmos, he's like turning into like the Abraham Lincoln of Battlestar Galactica, you know?
Yep.
And it's like Abraham Lincoln-type music playing when he was standing in the middle of the hallways there on the ship.
Yep.
So I thought that was good. Yeah, Olmos, if I was him, I'd ask for a raise on that program, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's excellent. Now, about some information, I've heard too that Roslyn is getting more and more sick in 212. So, didn't we talk last week about possibly Starbuck being the one to lead, the group? So,
I still think that.
You know, I never thought about it like that, but it might be that they might. They might, and now this is just speculation on my part. They might let her die, Roslyn, this season, and then,
make Starbuck the prophet of the Lords of Cobalt.
Yeah.
You
know?
I've
heard, too, that she gets really sick in 12, and that I believe in episode 8, is it, where the chief builds his own viper?
Yeah, the Blackbird?
Yes, it is called the he didn't say that, did he?
No.
Yeah, but it is called the Blackbird, and I did ask. He sent me some pictures, and I'm not going to release them to the sites yet until I get clearance from him. But it looks cool.
Really.
Yeah, it looks really, really awesome.
Really, well, good for him. He's been doing. He's had a lot of great scenes in the last few episodes of the show. So I mean, it's great to see him getting some subs. Of course, last week he wasn't in the show at all. But
I know. But Eddie wasn't in the show for a lot of the episodes either. I mean,
it was nice
to see that a little bit of the hiatus with him out of it so that the other people could develop and showcase their talents. Well, I'm still, though, I write episode synopses, and I'm just staggered at the amount of negativity directed at the new show by the original series fans. I mean, I go to boards that are so pro old show that they literally tear down each and every episode. He's right. Aaron is absolutely right. And, my tactic now is make peace with these people. Mm. Don't get agitated. Don't get uptight. I mean, it's just one of those things that they're never going to see value to the new show. But I'm like him. Why are you even watching it then? I mean, can't you spend an hour of your time doing something else? It's like they get joy out of really tearing it down. And the ratings, you know, when the ratings dipped, oh my God, this might be gloom and doom. This might be the end of the series after this season. And now that the ratings are going up,
we have a question.
Don't talk about the ratings that
Koenig,
much anymore.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Koenig, I'm Mark, by the way.
I think we talked last week, right?
Yes.
I think I have an idea for the peace offering for these older Battlestar Galactica fans.
Yeah.
We need to have a Muffet. I think that's
the
how
dog?
You say it.
Muffet?
Yes.
No.
Yes, we need a little robotic animal that makes little goofy noises, and I think that would make everybody happy.
I think if you have Six barking when she's having sex or something with the Baltar, it might solve the ratings problem, huh? Have a roof.
I think if you had 4 to 5 of the original series actors on the show, it still would not be the Galactica. I mean, I'm sure you've heard how they refer to the new show, Galactica. It's called Geno. Geno standing for Galactica in
name only.
I had to tell Aaron that, because he was posting on the boards, and he still looks at the boards. What the heck is Geno?
Yeah.
And I said, it's Galactica in name only.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, that's terrible.
Yeah. What's going on with Tom Zarek? Like, last week he was feeling his head. Is he going to keel over, too? It looks like he's got a headache or something coming. Oh, we're running out of time. Oh.
You know, Zarek is... Zarek, right?
Yeah.
He's an interesting guy. You thought he was the one calling the shot.
Yeah.
And now that Meyer guy seems to be leading him down a particular path. Now, I'm wondering, is Meyer is a Cylon? I've read on the boards that Zarek is being accused of being a Cylon. I don't think so, but it's almost like Meyer is manipulating Zarek, like Six was manipulating Bautar. So Meyer, I think, might be a possible Cylon.
Well, Koenig, we're running out of time here. We got to let you go. All right.
Okay, well, it's good to be on, and
okay.
I'm glad Aaron had a good time.
All right. Thank you, Koenig.
You take care.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Don't forget, next week, Paul Campbell will be on. He plays Billy on Battlestar Galactica in the second hour. And the subject to discussion, Wild Women in Vegas, whatever the hell it's called, it's not on. Tomorrow would be Vegas S&M comes on. And then Spank Wagons on Friday, King Hash. Daily Noise is Monday through Friday. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.
It is not imperious leader.